Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. The disciples were really impressed with the temple complex. And it was massive and impressive too. And Jesus said unto them, "See you not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." In other words, you better take a good look at this, because it's going to crumble completely. It's going to be destroyed. And they must have been shocked, because they thought that would stand forever. 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" So, you know, that what Jesus said bothered them. They just had to ask him, when? They actually asked him 3 questions. When shall these things be? When's the temple going to be destroyed? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And that's an admonition that should be heeded today. Deceivers are in the world. Spiritual deceivers who appear to be holy, just like the religious rulers, but they'll lead you astray. Take heed, be careful. If what they say doesn't line up with the Word of God, reject them. No matter who they are, no matter how popular they may be. "For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." There's going to be a lot of people claiming to be Christ who are not. 6. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." There's going to be wars. Big wars, little wars, that's not a sign of the end. Oh, they'll be around at the end time, but they'll be around for the entire church age, and they have been. And world wars, as verse 7 suggests, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." It's not going to be easy. This is a fallen world, and bad things happen. That's just the way it is. Verse 8. "All these are the beginning of sorrows." It doesn't mean the end is imminent. So every time there's a famine, you know, don't go out and buy a book that some Christian crackpot wrote to prove that that's a sign that the end is near. You know, or there's an oil shortage and some crackpot writes a book. Oil shortage proves that the return of Christ is near. I mean, there's so many of these people out there, these opportunists, that do things like that. We jump on any bad thing in the news, especially if it's in the Middle East, and, you know, build a doctrine of the end times from it, basically, trying to get your money. 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Persecution of God's people. It's going to be a part of the church age too. 10. "And then shall many be offended, cause to stumble, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." They won't be able to take the persecution. They'll cave. If they had a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it'll be out the window once they have to pay a price for it. 11. "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many." Here we go again, another warning of false prophets, deceivers. Tell people what they want to hear, what sounds good rather than the truth. That's what's popular today. Verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's going to be a very unloving world. And remember, love exists within the boundaries of truth. So if you really love someone and you really want to do something loving for someone, it begins by telling them the truth of what the Bible says. It is unloving to rubber stamp someone's unscriptural behavior. That's not loving. It has the appearance of love and tolerance, but it's not loving because it's going to contribute to the damnation of souls. 13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Your faith has to endure until the end of your life. Faith in Jesus, without renouncing him, without walking away from him. 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Everybody, Jesus says, everybody's going to get a chance to hear the word of God, to hear about Jesus and the salvation that comes only through him. 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand. In other words, when an evil thing is going on in the temple, in the holy temple, when it's being desecrated, 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, take off, run for your life. 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. You don't have time. Just hightail it out of town when you see trouble. 18, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. You're better off running away and escaping with your life than having your possessions. So just leave them. 19, and woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And that's because you're not going to be able to move as fast. 20, but pray you that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Because according to strict Jewish religion, you can only go so far. You can only travel so far on the Sabbath. And these people are going to be hung up on that, even though that law has passed away in Christ. But pray that you got good weather for running. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Trouble, like never before, and like never will be again. All hell is going to break loose on earth before Jesus returns. How bad will it be? 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. God's not even going to let those days run their full course, because if he did, there wouldn't be a human being left. And that's what sin does. Sin destroys society. Sin destroys people. Sin is self-destructive. It ruins, it destroys, it annihilates those who participate in it. And there's going to be a whole lot of sin and a whole lot of destruction. And Jesus is not going to let the human race become extinct. 23. Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe him not. Don't buy into these people who claim to be Jesus, or the return of Christ, or the Messiah of some sort. Don't believe it. 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But I'll tell you something, if the elect, Christians, are in the Word, they won't be deceived. No matter how powerful their deception may be, they will not be deceived, because they'll measure that person by the Word of God, and if he doesn't measure up, they'll reject him. 25, behold, I have told you before, I warned you ahead of time, so you can be prepared. Don't be surprised when this happens. 26, wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Just because somebody claims to be Jesus or the Christ or a Messiah doesn't mean that they are. In fact, if they claim, they're not. Don't believe them. Under any circumstances, do not believe it. 27, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You'll know when Jesus returns. It's not going to be a secret known only to a few. Everybody's going to see his return. There won't be any mistaking the return of Christ. So until you see him in the sky returning bodily, don't believe anyone who claims to be the Messiah. 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. A lot of carnage and a lot of birds of prey coming, carnivorous animals and birds coming to eat the rot. And what Jesus' point is this, wherever the moral rot is, the unsaved are, judgment will follow. Their destruction will follow. 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And so the Lord God Almighty, right before Jesus returns, is going to cause all sorts of upheaval in the sky. The normal things that are up there will not be acting normal anymore. And people are going to be shook up. 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So when God has everybody's attention looking up, watching what in the world is going on in the heavens, in the sky, that's when Jesus is going to return. And everybody's going to see him. 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So the angels are going to go throughout the entire earth at the return of Christ and gather all of God's people, all true Christians, to Jesus. Won't even have to pay for your transportation. 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. That's what happens. When a fig tree becomes tender, you know what that's like. If you live in Wisconsin or northern climate, when spring is just around the corner, the branches are not quite as brittle. They start to fill with sap. You know that summer is near. 33, so likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Pay attention to the sign. Pay attention. Strange things start happening in the heavenlies. You'll know that my return is about to happen. 34. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. The generation that is here, that sees these signs, certainly will not pass away before the Lord returns. 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You stand on the word of God, because it is true and it always will be true. Everything else is going to pass away, but God's word will not. So you can build your life on it, can build your eternity on it, stand on it, count on it. 36, but of that day and hour, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. And this causes some people to stumble, because they think, oh, look, Jesus wasn't God because he didn't know everything. Well, no, in his humanity, he gave up the privileges of deity. Whether he knows now or not, I really don't know. The important thing is, Jesus is God, and he is returning. And the Father knows the exact day and hour that he's going to return. 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What were the days of Noah like? Horrible. Half-breeds. Half-fallen angels, half-human beings, this hybrid, the Nephilim, the Rephaim. All flesh was corrupted, the Bible says, on the face of the earth because of Satan's plot to destroy the purity of the human race, the physical purity of the human race, and attempt to keep the Messiah from being born, the Savior from being born, a pure man, so that he could die for the sins of man. There was physical corruption throughout the whole world. The Bible says that only Noah and his family were left that were pure. So, it's going to be like that when he returns. Does that mean that Satan's going to attempt another hybrid operation to defile the human race physically? Could be. Could be. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, full of wickedness, all flesh corrupted. 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They didn't care about anything except the things of this world. Totally oblivious to the warnings from Noah, totally oblivious of God's call to repent. Oh, they heard it, but they didn't care. They were too busy with other more important things. And so, verse 39, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And be blindsided because they weren't looking and they didn't care. And go through their normal activities thinking that all is well and everything's going to be the same and we're never going to be judged and we're not even going to even think in those terms. And all of a sudden, wham! Judgment hits. And it's too late. 40. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. And the people who are taken refers to people who will be taken in judgment. So be careful. Be ready. Because God come and take you away for judgment. And that's not just pertaining to the end times. That pertains to right now as well. Your number could be called within the next 30 seconds. You're dead. You're taken away. And if you don't know Christ, you've been taken away in judgment. You'll end up in hell. 30 seconds from now, you could be in hell, in torment, which would never end. 43. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. It would not have been allowed, and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. If a person knew what time a thief was coming, if a thief called ahead of time, so I'll be there between 1 and 2 in the morning, you'd be on the front porch with your shotgun. You'd be ready. 44, therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man comes. You don't know when a thief has come, so you better be ready. Better have your place secured, just in case he arrives. And you don't know when Jesus is going to return. So you better be ready for him starting right now, because it could be at any second, is what Jesus is saying. And your death could be at any second too, so you better be ready right now. 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Wise servant did the master's will all the time. 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. If you're living for God, doing what's right, you're going to be blessed. when you meet your Maker, whether it's at the Lord's return or you're going to meet him. 47, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. You'll be rewarded. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. So he was a servant of his Lord, but he had an evil heart. He, at some point, began to change. Or he was never that way to begin with. He was all outward, whatever. 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. In other words, disregard what the Lord wants. You start living that way. Notice verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Why? Because he's too busy sinning to even think about the return of his Lord. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about earlier. People too busy with their life to pay any attention to God and how their behavior affects him and what he thinks of their behavior. Get a second thought because they're too busy doing foolish things, sinful things. Well, what's going to happen to them? 51. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're going to hell. They're going to be judged. And it's going to hit them like a 2x4 on the side of the head, and they never saw it coming. And the next thing they know, they'll be burning in hell because they didn't pay attention. And why didn't they pay attention spiritually? Because they didn't care about Jesus. They cared only about their life. They cared only about their sin. They cared only about satisfying whatever lusts they have in their flesh without giving any thought to God. And that will be their end. Take heed this warning from Jesus.